You know, the internet never forgets.
Okay, we are recording.
We are the voice of the under 25s.
I'm currently shut myself in the toilet.
How on earth do you become a lollyologist?
The bag with my blood in it. My blood.
Our stories, what we think, the truth.
I'm Oliver Morris, and I've been asking the question, is anything private anymore? One of the greatest assets the internet has to offer is an ability to connect. I can use the internet to stay up to date with my friends, I can use it to discuss hobbies with strangers, I can even contact journalists and experts on the other side of the globe. But as everyone draws closer together on the internet, we draw in with us people who wish to observe us, to watch us. And with every new account we create, we surrender some anonymity. This leads us to a singular question. Is anything private anymore? I phoned Olivia Cappuccini, a journalist who started up a new site called Scenes of Reason. She was able to find some time in her busy schedule to talk to me. And you'll be able to hear in the background, it really is quite busy. Her colleagues are continuing to work while we have the conversation. But she told me about the first time she realised someone might have been watching her.
I'd been doing some research into how UK citizens were even able to travel to places like Syria undetected. And I was looking into the route and how people were even communicating with those on the other side in order to get that access. And I stumbled across a blog through actually just reading something off the back of Facebook that had been supposedly written by a jihadi bride, as she called herself, who was apparently based in Syria. And I was looking at this blog and I was really fascinated by it. I couldn't believe that actually a site like that was up and running and that I could have got access to it so easily. And I spent a couple of minutes, actually probably like 5 to 7 minutes on it. And I went back to Facebook and found that I'd been logged out and couldn't get back on for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I might have been being really paranoid, but that has never happened to me before. And it just struck me, how was I at that point for those 10 minutes being investigated? And on some respects, you almost wouldn't blame someone or the government or whoever, corporations, for doing that, because I could have been anyone looking at that blog with any sort of intention.
I wondered if anyone else had had a similar experience or had ever tried to cover their own internet search tracks. Martin, an old friend of mine from school, told me a bit about what he did online and how he had been hacked.
Well, for the most part, I do things like job searching through various websites because I'm currently unemployed and trying to become employed. I also admittedly do a bit of online gaming. It's my way of releasing, so to speak, at the end of the day. And at the same time, I use it for socialising with people online as well. It's so easy to use. You can find anything you need.
So have you been a victim of hacking?
Momentarily before, yes. But I had it dealt with in a matter of minutes. Through the Steam gaming platform, someone had hacked one of my friends' accounts. And via their account, they sent a message to me with a link. I thought it was just my friend sending it because it looked like an image link. But after I'd clicked it, then I noticed something wasn't right. Well, let's just say my internet browser kept closing every 5 minutes straight away, which was really getting infuriating. But thankfully, one of my other online friends who told me verbally about something called Malwarebytes, which dealt with it in a matter of minutes. And after that, all I had to do is just change a load of passwords, double check some stuff, and then it was all dealt with.
So what do these experiences make us feel? And are we becoming less able to do what we want online? Who can use our data and history against us?
As a journalist, I should have the intellectual curiosity to look at whatever I want and investigate whatever I feel necessary for the purpose of work and not feel paranoid or feel like I was being watched or maybe that I'd even been put on some list. So that was kind of how it started. The government intelligence agencies have already been collecting what's called bulk data and what journalists and people within the media will refer to as mass surveillance. So that's basically collecting everything and anything that we're doing online and even you know, on our phones. And this bill basically would legalize all of those powers. And essentially, so they've already been doing it, and some of it has been unlawful. It's been proven unlawful in several trials that groups like Privacy International, who've taken the likes of GCHQ to the Investigatory Powers Tribunal, which is like a specific court that deals with these types of cases. And they've been proven unlawful for collecting this data and using it, misusing it, I think is probably a better word, against, you know, NGOs, even charities, to basically like survey anyone who's perceived to be potentially challenging the government. And in a democracy, you think that's might not be a problem, but what about not in a democracy where, like, you don't have freedom of speech, and those types of powers are completely misused and end up putting people in jail?
I also phoned Kimberly Lim Guerrero, a young philosopher who studied jurisprudence, the theory of law. She explained what the government can do now and what it may plan to do in the future if these new powers become law.
The original bill basically allowed communication interception and being able to use that data without fear of repercussions.
So the government's been able to tap our phones for the last 15 years?
Yeah, pretty much. And then it went through a number of revisions, but I think after the 7/7 attacks in 2005, 2006, it got the most number of revisions. And then the current bill, which is supposed to be written under scrutiny, is currently the most worrying of all the revisions they've ever done to it. Because what it's doing is that it's not only introducing powers to, say, look, we want to get these records, but ISPs now have an obligation to hold those records. So they want to statute that into law. Now, this is worrying because not only is the government saying, we don't care about your privacy, they're saying, we only care about our privacy.
But do we care what people can find out about us? So my sister is a YouTuber under the name of Amelia Race, and so I called her and asked if she feels like she has any privacy online.
I feel relatively confident that things I've set as private stay private. Mm-hmm. I do feel like, particularly on websites like Tumblr, there is almost, people feel like they have an entitlement to personal information about you, particularly if you have a popular online presence.
My next kind of question is, how kind of safe are you online in terms of things like tracking your kind of movements online, as it were? So do you do a lot of kind of browsing in private browsers, or do you kind of hide your IP, or do you do anything like that?
I always turn off location services on things like basically any social media except for Facebook, where I know everyone who's on it. But I don't particularly use private browsing or turn off my IP or anything.
Have you ever felt like you've had a sense of privacy?
I guess so, yeah.
And the other question is, how important is privacy to you?
Less important than it probably should be when it comes to things about, like, emotions and whatever, but quite important to me in terms of, you know, physical things like home address, bank details, mother's maiden name.
I spoke to Kimmy again about whether we should worry if someone's looking over our shoulder when we're interacting with people online.
I mean, for me, as an advocate of privacy and security, this also extends to things like WhatsApp and Telegram and Line, where you can't have a conversation with anyone without it being snooped on by the government. Mm. And, you know, if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't fear surveillance. Is kind of a nonsensical concept, because a lot of people aren't aware about, you know, the internet never forgets. So anything you put up on the internet is there forever. Yeah, and that's the sort of thing. All the because we were the age that grew up with the internet, a lot of the early internet wasn't very sophisticated in terms of privacy and security. So, you know, you there's some people in which you do a Google search, you just find everything about them because from a young age they've been, you know, sharing all this stuff online. You know, some in some parts their parents are complicit in it. I know some people who are going to grow up with looking at their baby photos on Facebook and Facebook
forever.
I don't want people knowing about, you know, where I've been, who my friends are, when I went to the toilet, or that I use Facebook on the toilet. Yeah, exactly. When everyone does it, and here's the thing, when we start saying no, that's when the big corporations who've been having their buffet of, you know, information are saying, oh wait, no, we don't like that. So what we've gone from this sort of privacy that we've had in the pre-internet age to a sort of erosion of privacy, almost willingly by individuals, whether through negligence or simply lack of awareness of it.
Mm.
And then now we're going back through a stage where we are in a position to reclaim that. For example, people having their family photos used in adverts without them knowing, but that's because they is part of signing a release for on Facebook, for example. Mm. You know, they've uploaded it and people have just taken it. When something's offered for free on the internet, it's usually because you're the thing that you're offering up to them in return. Yeah.
If you're not buying a product, you're the product being sold.
Yes. I mean, this is another frivolous example, but Amazon.
Mm.
When I go to Amazon, it gives me a list of things that I think I'd be interested in because I've been looking on these things on Amazon.
Yeah.
But a step further from this is that if they've been tracking my movements on the internet, let's say I was on Amazon, I didn't look on anything on there, but I've linked my Netflix account to my computer, and they found that I've been watching Daredevil, and as a result, they've started recommending me Daredevil comics, despite never having typed Daredevil onto their website or shown any interest in Marvel or their properties while I'm on Amazon. Yeah. Now, that's frightening. That's really frightening. People want to turn this into a sort of, oh, it knows what I want. You should be scared that it knows what you want. You don't... I think it has to be said that there's nothing wrong with wanting recommendations, but it's kind of creepy when a machine tells you it knows what you want.
Is there anywhere I can have a private conversation online?
Communications between people online and in, you know, other forms is private, and people use online communications the same way they use spoken communication, so people will say things in online communication they would say face to face, but of course it's all being recorded because it's the internet, and so if the government can, you know, backtrack through that, they can probably find things out of context, they can probably find information people would rather they didn't find.
Is that a big concern for you, or is it, like, just kind of another thing?
I wouldn't say it's a big concern for me personally, but I'm concerned about it for other people. For example, I'm concerned about in terms of people who may have said something when they were idiotic teenagers that could now be considered a terrorist threat.
I asked Olivia what would change if this law goes ahead.
So if this bill goes through, it will legalise all of these things, which mean that we wouldn't be able to challenge intelligence agencies or the government if the powers were misused, because they would be able to find some sort of loophole to say, hey, look, this charity, you know, it was perceived to the government or some sort of investigation they were running, which would mean that they would legally be able to look at whatever they want, even the communications, you know, between spouting out examples like prisoners and their lawyers, or, you know, people who are members of Amnesty who've been victims of some kind of abuse. Like, that's information that no one should have apart from those organizations, because those organizations, you know, have a rule that anyone who's part of them is protected. This bill, for instance, if they're collecting everything about you, yes, in the name of, like, national security, you know, they might have their reasons to, and they might be able to try and justify it in some way, which they so far haven't been able to do. if they have everything on you, if they know who you're talking to, if someone who through a loose connection you know, or you've met, or you've spoken to one day, or you've met through business, or you come across, or you pass in the street, is then suspected of something, you are automatically put in that web because you've had some sort of communication with them. And that is worrying, because you can guarantee that you'll never commit a crime, but you can't guarantee that you'll never be accused of something. And as soon as you're accused of something, that's when, and you're innocent, that's when powers get misused. And that would be so easy to do under this new bill.
So I can get into trouble if I'm connected with someone suspicious.
So you go from either being an activist who you think you have the freedom of expression and freedom of speech to having a policeman come up to you saying that they've been watching you to intimidate you. That's not right. So, and you can't say that those people are doing anything wrong, because they're not. And what's still not clear is why the government collects everything, why it is entirely necessary. There's nothing that proves that terrorist attacks have been foiled. Terrorists who've committed a crime and then been located and arrested has been through the use of collecting everyone's data.
My thanks to Olivia Cappuccini, Kimberly Lim Guerrero, Martin Good and Amelia Ace for their contributions on today's programme. I'm Oliver Morris, reporting for Podium.me. If you want to find out more about internet security, you can go to scenesofreason.com, which is Olivia's site. They're currently crowdfunding a project they're doing called the Haystack, which gets into the heart and the meat of the investigatory powers bill.
My name is James.
I'm Ella.
Hi, I'm Oliver.
Hello, my name's Shauna.
Rhiannon.
I'm Ethan.
Hi, we're Jungle Doctors, and you're listening to Podium.me.